I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're definitely going to take this call. A Hall of Famer is on the River Islands guest line. Let's do it. It's Kurt Warner joining us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Hey, Kurt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. I really wonder if you see, do you see anything different this year with Brock Purdy's performances versus what we've seen in the first 2 years?
I would say not a lot different. You know, and I think the hard part is you always got to kind of look at each game individually. I still think Brock has been playing, really good football this year. It hasn't been quite as easy in the past. I felt like this Chiefs game was maybe the worst game that I've seen him play in his career. And again, I don't want to make a huge statement just on the last game, but he's played so well and been so consistent at making the plays that are in front of him and creating some opportunities within this offense. But I thought he really struggled in this game against the Chiefs, just kind of seeing it, recognizing what they were doing, protecting the football, just some different things. Didn't think he played his best game. But, overall on the season, maybe not quite as good as the last couple years. But, again, let's put it into context, right? I mean, the way he's been performing over the last couple years is as good as we've seen anybody perform on a consistent level. And so this year may be a little bit of a down tick from that. And really, you just have to look at the whole team. I think the team isn't playing nearly as consistently well this year as they have in the past.
And part of that is no McCaffrey all year, and now Ayuk is gone with a terrible knee injury as well. I wonder, Kurt, if when you watch the Niners, if you aren't seeing defenses come up with a plan against not only Brock Purdy but Shanahan with playing press man and putting a lot more pressure on this offense.
It starts with running the football with this offense, as we know. And, they've done that really well at times and not quite as good at other times. As I've said, it just hasn't been quite as easy. They haven't had as many, short throws, go for big plays. They haven't had as many big play touchdowns, which to me always makes offense harder. When you have to play 10 and 12 plays without making a mistake, without missing a throw, without having a holding penalty, that's much different than when you make big chunk plays all the time. And what we've seen from this 49ers team and really Brock Purdy over the last couple of years is he's made a lot of big plays every game. And this team and this offense clicks when they make big plays and they can shorten the field, in terms of, plays that they have to make. When you have to go the long distance, most offenses in this league struggle to be able to do that and then put 7 points on the board at the end. And so I don't know if you can pin it on any one thing, but that to me is something that's really stood out, is that they just haven't been getting as many of those chunk plays and big plays. Brandon Ayuk hasn't had many of those. Like, I can't think of very many when Debo's caught the short little quick screen and gone for big plays. Even the run game's been good, but we haven't seen as many of those breakout big runs that we were accustomed to a year ago from Christian McCaffrey. So I think that's helped, caused a little bit of the stoppage of the offense, is that they have to be more methodical and more detail oriented, and everybody's got to play, a little bit more on their P's and Q's to make the plays when there is tighter coverage or when those big plays aren't there and when they have to play 10 and 12 plays to put points on the board, and they just haven't been as efficient this year.
Kurt Warner with us on Willard and Dibbs. Kurt, I've been dying to ask you this because you get it. In the age of social media, if you want to be a $60 million quarterback, then there are never any excuses. And if your team has injuries, you still need to be amazing. So I wanted to ask you this. If you went into a football game and there was no Marshall Faulk and there was no Isaac Bruce and there was no Torrey Holt, how do you think it would affect your performance?
I mean, I'd probably come down with some kind of arm injury or something. it's always going to affect your performance. And again, a lot of it really depends on, I always looked at it like, if a team was going to play me in zone coverage, then I didn't care who was out there. You know, if they were playing zone coverage, then it would fall on me to make the right decision, throw it to the guy, and of course they got to make the plays on the other end. But it's being the right place when you're supposed to be there, and I think there's a lot of guys that you can get to do that, and so you feel like you can still play at a high level when that's the case. If a team's going to come out against you and challenge you physically, you know, in terms of like play man to man, and can your guys separate? Then to me, it would fall to two things. A, you know, can my guys win in those situations? It's probably going to be a little bit more of a struggle than it is with Isaac and Torrey and Marshall and Larry Fitzgerald and those guys. But then you have to create more for those guys. You've got to get into some stacks and bunches and put them in situations where they're not going to get pressed. And, you know, you can create some more space for them instead of expecting them to play, you know, the same way your other guys would play. And so I always felt like we would be successful, but how we had to be successful may have to change from a schematic standpoint, just to play and cater to what our guys are good at or what they're not good at or what we're going to be facing that week versus when you have those guys, you don't really care. Like, you play us however you want. We're going to win against man. We're going to win against zone. We're going to play our scheme because it doesn't really matter. Well, you know, when you have lesser players, so to speak, now you have to be a little bit more creative in how you get them open or what you do or how you force a defense to play against you than you may have to with all that talent.
That's an interesting way to break it down, because we're starting to see defenses come up and pressure this team a little bit more with, like you're talking about, with man-to-man coverage. And I wonder how much the new movement of defenses toward the two-deep zone makes it tougher on offenses, because it seems like the big plays in the passing game are harder to come by now.
That's a myth. I don't buy into it. Here's the thing that is funny about that is that you say that, okay, the bigger plays are harder to come by because there's two deep safeties. Well, when you think about it, the base coverages you're going to see are two deep, three deep, or four deep, right? And so why would it be harder to get big plays down the field against two guys covering the entire back end of the field versus three or versus four? So that to me is a myth. It's more what I would say is the chunk throws might be a little bit harder. And by that, I mean kind of the 15 to 25 yard throws are a little harder, not the big plays down the field. And why that's harder is because you have five guys playing zone underneath in cover two. And so the windows are smaller, you know, in that second level, or you're always going to be throwing it over a guy in the second level because of the underneath defenders, not because of the deep defenders. If you can protect, there's only two guys on the back end of the field. Like, I can exploit that all day long if you give me the time. And so that's, I think, the myth that's going on out there. But yeah, you know, you have to be a little more precise on those chunk second level throws when you're playing against cover two, because you're going to have to throw it over a guy. You're going to have to layer it. You know, the windows are going to be a little bit tighter, you know, when that's the case. But that to me is the biggest thing about it. You know, more so than you can't get the big plays down the field, it's, you know, the consistency of the chunk plays there. You better be really good. Like when I played back with Rams, we saw cover two all the time. You know, like we saw teams that wanted to jam our guys at the line of scrimmage. That's another thing that can factor in, right? You've got corners that are up at the line of scrimmage that can jam your receivers to slow them down the field. So you got to be a little more creative in getting your guys. But we saw a whole bunch of cover two, and we were good at getting big plays, but I think it's because we were so detail-oriented, you know, and I had the capacity to kind of layer throws over the top and could be accurate with that second-level throw. And that's probably the biggest difference is – there may not be the precision at the quarterback spot that we've seen in the past. And so without that precision, those chunk throws are going to be harder to come by, not the deep throws. So so just to kind of clear that up, that, hey, it's harder to get big plays, you know, against cover two, I don't agree with that. But it might be harder to get, you know, those second-level 25-yard throws on a consistent basis because of the precision of quarterbacks and offenses right now.
Kurt, I have a reason, a specific reason for asking this, which I'll reveal in a moment. But as a quarterback, if you could have basically a great teammate at a specific position to help you do what you do, what would that position be? Or if you want to put it on the other side of the ball on defense, you could do that too.
So again, what position would I want to have, or what kind of player would I want to have to make my job easier?
Exactly. Like where would you want like a great teammate or great teammates at what other position to make your job go well?
You know, I mean, first of all, like I was fortunate to play with Marshall Faulk. And so I think a good versatile running back, you know, can be a real mismatch and can really help you dictate things if they can get out of the backfield and catch the ball, kind of like Christian does, right? He's kind of a positionless player that you can put a lot of different places. And I think those guys are so, you know, good and important. You know, a Deebo Samuel would be another type guy that you would love to have. I still think the biggest mismatches in football are the tight ends. If you have a really, really good tight end, they're really tough to match up with. If they can play, you know, play in the run game like George can, play in the pass game, get down the field, make big plays, because they're being covered by those interior guys that have to worry so much about the run game and so much about coming downhill. And so if you have a good player there, I think that's, you know, those are kind of two areas where you can create really, really good mismatches for yourself. Unlike outside, of course, I played with great receivers and I'm not trading them for anybody, but you know, the best defensive athletes are going to be out there too. So the discrepancy in, you know, ability is going to be smaller in those areas than I think it is a linebacker covering a really good, you know, receiving back, or a linebacker or a safety covering a really good receiving tight end, where those guys can be involved in more parts of the game. I think those would be the areas that I would definitely look to.
Okay, so here's why I'm asking, because you kind of got to receiver there as at the end. And as a quarterback, I think that's kind of where our brains go. But, Kurt, I'm amazed at what's happening at this position around the league and the way that it's being paid. A lot of teams, it's their second highest paid player behind the quarterback. Hell, sometimes it's the second and the third highest paid guy, kind of like the Miami Dolphins. Does this make sense to you, the amount of resources that are being put toward wide receivers?
That's a tough one, because it is a throw first league, or it has been really until this year. You know, I've seen that kind of trend change a little bit. And so you have to have a difference maker at that position, right? Like, you know, there's very few really good teams without a difference maker at that position. And if they don't have the difference maker at that position, then you better be really good in other areas. So I understand why those guys are getting paid, and especially the top guys in the league are getting paid, you know, because of the nature of the way it's going. And then I think you look at other spots. Like, you know, I think resources need to go to the offensive line. You know, I think the teams that are really good in this league, that's another thing you start to see, is offensive line becomes so important to those really good teams. And building there, I think, you know, that's vital. But I understand why at the wide receiver spot. Because, again, you can look around the league at teams that, you know, I think about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they got CeeDee Lamb, who's a really good wide receiver. They don't have much outside of that. So they're not running the football very well, and so it becomes a premium to have multiple guys on the outside that can be really good, that can win for you, that can be game changers for you. If you're really good in the other areas up front, then maybe that's not the case. But I just think, because of the rules and the way it's all dictated, wide receiver is an important position. You got to have them for most teams, kind of like the quarterback. So I understand the resources. You know, I just think the problem is, and even at the quarterback position, is that we've gotten to the point where all we do is, you know, we just slate guys in. Oh, he's the next guy up. We're going to pay him this exorbitant amount of money. And the difference is, you need to pay guys that are worth that kind of money. And we need to somehow get away from having to pay everybody that kind of money, because that, to me, is, I think, where the discrepancy is. And I look at it more from a quarterback lens now. But we've got all these guys making $200 million in the league that probably don't deserve to be making that. They're not good enough to be considered in that category, to hamstring an organization, to be expected to carry a team. They're not there, yet they're getting paid that. And, you know, and I think we start to do that at every position where we start to overpay good players instead of reserving that money and that commitment for great players.
It's the whole idea of resetting the market, and Dallas has a couple of guys who have done that, and I want to get your thoughts on Dak Prescott and just where you see Dallas right now coming off a bye and a team at 3-3 that feels like they've been playing worse than that. What do you make of Dak Prescott and this Dallas offense coming into Levi's on Sunday?
I don't think they're very good right now. I don't think there's anything that they do really well. You know, and that becomes a huge part of it, is that not every team can do everything. But if you want to compete in this league, you better be really good at something if that's the case. And Dallas isn't really good at anything. Dak's not playing really good right now. You know, their pass game isn't very good right now. Their run game is awful right now. You know, they're not playing great at the offensive line. Like, there is no area or no player on their team right now that I say is really good, is one of the top, you know, situations or top areas offensively in the league. And so, you know, then you put a bunch of average together and you probably get below average. And then they're having their struggles on defense without being able to stop the run and some of those things. So I see a team that's very, very average across the board. And I don't know how they get out of it. I don't know where all of a sudden this change comes from, because to me, if you don't have a dominant area on your offense, you better be really, really good at the details. Like, the little things must be the, you know, the most important thing for you, because you're not just going to out-athlete people. You're not just going to beat them because, you know, you're better than them at the offensive line. So you better be really good from a technique standpoint, a detail standpoint, a creative standpoint offensively. And I just don't see this team being that either. I look at their film and I say, man, there's so many things I would do different in the passing game. So many details that aren't, you know, buttoned up that cost them. So when you put it all together, to me, they're just not a very good football team right now. And I don't see how they work their way out of it.
Kurt Warner with us here on Willard and Dibs. Kurt, you won't remember this, but last season you came on this show and we talked about Kyle Shanahan's system and how it's not really built to come from behind. That the whole idea is to get a lead early and then hold it. And they do that very well. But obviously it hasn't worked as well this year. And there's a lot of talk with this fan base with regard to Kyle's inability to have the right offense in place when there's chaos or when you fall behind. Is this a flaw in the system, in your opinion?
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think that's really hard to use that term. The way I always look at it, and I do remember our conversation, and I believe in that part of the conversation, I also said, here's the thing about every team, is that every team has to focus and try to become great at something. And in doing that, something else is always going to be sacrificed because of it. If you want to be a great running team and commit more time to the run game, your pass game isn't going to be as good. Or you're going to say, I'm really good in the run game. Now I'm going to be really good with play action, a.k.a., you know, the 49ers, a.k.a. the Lions. Those teams are really good at that. They're not as good in the drop back game. And I think it's because they sacrifice some because of what their system is and how their system is built and how they expect to play most of the time. It doesn't mean they neglect, you know, when they have to play drop back football. It's just not their forte. It's just not what they work on and what they, you know, what they hone in on every week. that's going to be more limited, and the other things are going to be, you know, the more important part of it or the more extensive part of what they practice and what they plan to do, because that's what they expect to be good at and that's what they expect to win with most times out. And so when you say a flaw, I mean, yeah, I don't think they're as good in those areas. You know, I'm not as big a fan of, you know, of the complexity of their pass game and how they like to run it when they're playing drop back and spread out football. I love, you know, a lot of what they do in the run game and how their play action comes off of it. And so, you know, but I think you can look at a lot of teams. You know, I was on a lot of teams that were really good at throwing the football, and we weren't great at running the football. Like, that wasn't what we were great at. We didn't think that was necessarily our strength. You know, we could suffice. We could, you know, we could run the ball at times. We could have good games running the ball, but it wasn't what we were great at. And it was, you know, because we chose based on our personnel or based on the scheme that we thought we could have success with, hey, we're going to be a 3-4 wide receiver team. That's how we're going to win. That's the strength of our team. Let's be great at that, and then let's hope we're good enough at the others that when we have to do them, you know, we can be functional and we can be good enough to win. And so I don't know if it's a flaw, because I don't know how many teams are out there that are good at everything, you know, that are great in every facet. So it's like, hey, pick your poison. What do we want to do today? What's the dictate? Oh, we got to come from behind. No problem. We're great at that. Oh, we're up, you know, we're up by 10, so we're going to have to pound the football and run it. Oh, we're great at that. Like, there's not many teams that are good like that. And so it's figuring out what your team is or what your scheme is, or building your team around your scheme and saying, this is how we're going to win most of the time. And then when we get into those two or three games where we have to do it a different way, let's hope we have the personnel. Let's hope we're good enough in that facet to get it done, maybe one, maybe two of those three times. But we know that's probably not where we're going to hang our hat, and we're going to understand that going in and hope we don't play in a majority of our games that play against our strength.
I think that's a phenomenal answer. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. Kurt, it's always great to have you. Thank you so, so much.
You got it. Good to talk to you guys.
Okay, there he is, the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.